Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
Hi, I'm Chrissy.
And I'm Stephanie.
We're the co-hosts of another podcast brought to you from Kobo, the Kobo Writing Life podcast. Kobo Writing Life is Kobo's free self-publishing platform where we help independent authors reach Kobo readers around the world.
For the past 6 years, we've been sharing insights and inspiration for authors, talking to best-selling authors and industry experts. If you want to hear about how to create characters that drive a plot, you'll love our episode with best-selling romance author Damon Swade. If you want to learn how an expert cover designer creates award-winning book covers, download our interview with Stuart Bache.
You can find the Kobo Writing Life podcast on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you want to sign up to be a self-published author, you can find us at kobo.com/writinglife. Happy writing.
All right. Welcome to landmark episode, 91 of the Career Author Podcast. Such a special episode. We're here together.
Exciting.
We're here together again.
Yeah.
It's awesome. How's it going, man?
It's going great.
Yeah.
Why don't we tell everyone where we are?
We're in my dining room here in right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. You're in town. You were here for an event, and we're down here. So we're here together, which is awesome. The most fun episodes are always the ones we're here together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the next two are going to be like this, most likely.
I think so, because we're going to be together again in Seattle when we record Landmark episode 92.
Yeah. Jay's travel is nuts. I mean, it's funny because we're here together now, and then I won't see him for a couple days. Then I'll see him in Seattle. So, so it's been a good weekend though. Been a lot of fun. So, you want to tell everyone kind of why you're here?
I was here for a Story Grid Live event and had a great time meeting some clients and getting to see the fellow Story Grid editors again, and that was nice. And that wrapped up on Saturday, and been very enjoyable hanging out with you and your lovely wife and daughter this weekend, and heading up to see my mom before we fly out to Seattle. And it's been great. Other than the only thing that has been great has been the 99 degree highs. We have to get our weather talk in here on the Career Author Podcast.
Of course. But now you know, and now you've been in my room too in the middle of the afternoon when it's like burning hot in my office. So we have to get that in though. So, well, today on the show, by the way, I'm just realizing I meant to put my camo shorts on and I totally forgot. So we're just going to roll with this, but sorry.
At least you have shorts on.
Sorry if you're disappointed. Yeah, that's true. I could have just rolled with it without putting any shorts on, but especially since we just got back from the gym. So, today we're going to talk a little bit about how to choose a title for your novel. I think this is something that is overlooked about how important it is by some people, not by everybody. There are a lot of people who definitely look in this, but I think that there's different degrees that people look at this, and in my opinion, I think there's some better ways to do it than others. So, and it's something we haven't talked about before.
Yeah. So you're really good at this, and so I'm really kind of paying attention here because I think this can make a difference. Maybe
absolutely.
Not a tremendous difference, but it can help the algorithm, especially on Amazon.
Yeah. So this should be a pretty fun episode. So, but before we get into that, we want to remind everybody that September is drafting and revising month. So we are giving away a $50 credit for Readsy. And there's a lot of different stuff over there that you can spend $50 on. Readsy, if you're unaware, if you haven't done anything over there, you should definitely go check it out. Even if you don't win the $50, like they have a lot of really cool services and stuff going on over there. So it's definitely worth checking out. And I believe you have some shout outs you want to give.
Yeah, shout outs and a quick announcement. Because I know I'm going to leave somebody out. I'm going to try not to.
You already did by looking at your list. So.
Oh, yeah, Christine. So I wanted to just shout out the people who I was hanging out with this weekend or who were kind enough to come up and introduce themselves and talk a little bit. So Christine, one of our mom authors, was there. That was great. I'm glad I didn't forget her.
No, you did. I didn't.
Yeah.
Sorry, Christine.
Phil. Phil sporting his Night of the Writing Dead shirt. That was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
PT, thanks for buying us lunch, buddy. That was pretty nice. Big shout-outs to Lily and Meredith, and also some of the new people who came up and introduced themselves to me, including John, Jeffrey, and Dana. And Dana hit me up on that podcast stuff. She's got a new podcast she's starting. So,
oh, cool. Right,
we were talking some podcast stuff. So thanks to those people. It was nice to hang with you this weekend.
Nice. Right on.
Also, a little sort of an announcement. I don't want to make a big deal about this because this particular VA still has student responsibilities, let's say. But if you are in need of a responsible VA for about $13 an hour hiring through Upwork, hit me up. I'm not going to post anything publicly, but if you need that, I can put you in touch with this particular person and you get some high quality VA work done at a good price.
And this person will do a great job. I can guarantee you that. So, and of course, we've been through some, I don't want to say nightmares looking for VAs, but
didn't have
a great experience with the couple we tried to find. So I know you can get them out there, but if you're looking for somebody, let Jay know, and we will we'll kind of get you hooked up on that.
Yeah, so, we'll make the connection.
So, so moving on, before we jump into our Ways and Hacks this week, we want to remind everybody about patreon.com/thecareerauthor, where for as little as a dollar a month, you can support our show and you'll gain access to our two monthly bonus episodes, which includes a Q&A where we answer a ton of questions. Those have been really fun to do. We had a ton of questions last month. It was a lot of fun. And then our analysis episode, where we will break down a television show or a movie. Right now we're doing TV shows and we're doing Friday Night Lights this month. So a dollar gets you in the door. And it's just kind of another way to, you know, show your support for the show. You know, if you want to, again, main show will always be free. So just I figured I'd take a moment to remind everybody about that. But you could definitely check that out over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And so with that, we'll go ahead and we can move into our hacks this week. And I have a book recommendation that Jay and I both really like. This is an author that we both really, really like. And I think he came up on the show last week. He comes up on the show many weeks. But this is a book that we read a while ago that I think is a really, really good book on marketing. It's kind of it's a different take than what I think is out there a lot. And the book is called Perennial Seller, and it's by Ryan Holiday. And it's really, really good. And it's an entrepreneurial book, but it really has a heavy emphasis on the creative aspect. And he uses examples of, there's a lot of musicians and companies that he talks about. Like, one that stands out is he talks about Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
And, you know, Iron Maiden is, you know, they're not a band that has, you know, trying to hit the top of the charts. They're not, you know, they really have built a cult following over, gosh, 40 years, I guess, at this point, right?
1980
Well, they were around even before then, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, close to, like, around 40 years. And but he really goes into detail how they've built that up and, you know, sold out stadiums all around the world. And, I mean, again, a lot of people couldn't even name one of their songs, I bet, if you asked them to. And, you know, they are to the point where they have their own plane they fly around. You know, their lead singer is Bruce Dickinson's a pilot. But it's just a really, really good book, and it was a really good take on marketing. Again, I know, you know, as authors, you know, I think we read a lot of book marketing books and stuff that are out there and get recommended, but stuff like this I don't feel is recommended enough. And it's a really good, I mean, do you have anything you want to add about it? Because I know you really enjoy this book too.
Yeah, I'll just say it's more about the long tail than it is mm-hmm. the immediate. I think that's the general theme of Perennial Seller, is that there aren't any sort of quick hits that are worth it. If you're in it for the long game, you have a better chance, but that's what you're looking to do. And that's what you're looking to create. Not necessarily something that's hot right now or is a fad, but something that is going to sell year after year.
I think that's important, because we get so caught up in, you know, Amazon has the 30-day cliff and mm-hmm. but, you know, or and oh, what, you know, this genre is super hot right now. Yeah. And, you know, it does take the approach of thinking more about the long tail. And, you know, when you write a book, I mean, it's especially when you self-publish it, it's intellectual property we're going to own forever. And I plan on doing this for a long time. So, yes, I want my books to sell at the gate. It feels really good when that happens and you do well. But, like, it's also about building that back catalog. And, you know, books have a much longer tail than that 30-day cliff that's always talked about and stuff. You can definitely sell books much longer than that.
So. Yeah, and I have no judgment for sci-fi authors who are chasing the lit RPG genre right now, and you know, because it's a hot seller, but it's probably unlikely lit RPG is going to be this hot in 5 years or 10 years.
Yeah.
So you know, it's something you have to consider, and if you're looking to make if you need revenue right now, then yeah, you need to write what's hot, you know. But if you're not, then it might be worth reconsidering.
Very true. So, and we also want to remind you, if you have any ways and hacks that you think that our audience would benefit from, you can send them in over at thecareerauthor.com/ways and hacks, and we'll consider putting those on the show. So,
great.
I think we got some good in the book. Tank. We do.
We have a few. We're saving them as they come in. So you might not see it right away, but we are saving those.
We'll use them. We have weeks where we have brain farts, and those are harder to come up with than others. So I had Ryan Holiday on the mind because he's totally our man crush.
And he's got his new book coming out later. I'm sure we'll be talking about it more
later. I'm sure we will.
Later, but,
I know we're both going to be gay.
Yeah, Stillness is the Key is coming out in October.
October 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that one. So. All right, well, enough promoting Ryan Holiday. He doesn't pay us, so I'm just joking. Not that that matters. He's get a lot of value out of him. So, so let's go ahead and move into the main topic, and let's talk a little bit about how to choose the title for your novel.
Yeah. So
I realized when I was doing this, I got like, I don't know, three quarters of the way through playing this episode, and it was going to be called How to Choose Title for Your Book. And then I was like, oh, I could talk about nonfiction too. But I started thinking, that's a whole other animal.
Yeah, true.
And so that could be, you know, if enough people wanted that, maybe we could do a nonfiction one later at some mm-hmm. point too. But I wanted to specifically talk about your novel because I also think this, I think with nonfiction, I think that people generally kind of will like know offhand to come up with a title that's marketable and that's mm-hmm. like solves the problem in the title. Like people know what they're getting. But I feel like with fiction, it's where people try to take some more creative liberties and stuff, which really can hurt them in the end, potentially. So, you know, the title of your book should not be an afterthought by any means. And, I know people put a lot of thought in their titles, and it is important, but there's some really important aspects and some mistakes I see being made that I feel are mistakes. That I kind of wanted to talk about today. But it really is one of the most important aspects of your book, especially if you want to sell your book to the right readers. And that's really important because you want, you know, the right person, whether someone's coming across your book online or they're in a bookstore or whatever, like that title really, really matters. Mm-hmm. And it should, you know, help set the expectations of what that reader is going to get and should... because you know, along with the cover, that's the first thing they're going to see, and if they may not get past your cover and your title to read the synopsis of your book. So if you have a confusing title, they may not even get to the point where the book's about. So today we'll talk a little bit on how to what makes a good title, like what makes up a good title, and offer some tips on how to get there. So you know, the first thing is that your title should really say what your story is about, but it also needs to sell your book. So again, someone should be able to look at your title and like know what that book is about. So for example, really good book I'm reading right now. If it doesn't spark off all kinds of stuff in the title, I don't know what does, but I'm reading a book right now called A Boy and His Dog at the End of the World. Like, you instantly know that's post-apoc. Mm-hmm. You instantly know that, you know, it's kind of a younger kid because it's a boy. There's a dog involved, you know, so there's, you know, probably traveling with this dog.
Yeah.
It puts off a lot of stuff automatically. Like, you know what that's about. And that also, that title really helped sell me on the book. I was like, oh, well, that sounds interesting. Then you go, and then that really set me to read the synopsis. So, your title is not the time to be vague and artistic. I think this is the biggest mistake I see people make, is they try to make their title some kind of vague thing that you really have to see through that has like secret mean, or they use like some weird words. This is not the place to do that.
Yeah.
You can do that in your writing, but in your title really should be succinct. And, you know, people should be able to, a reader should be able to read your title and kind of have an idea what they're getting into.
I mean, yeah, unless you're Tool, you can't be clever with your title.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I mean, the new Tool record has, like, it's almost made up words and things that don't really make any sense. And, you know, that's an example of how not to come up with a title, especially when you don't have an audience or you don't have a big audience. It's, you know, for people who are coming to your work for the first time, that title needs to be very clear and succinct and tell them exactly what the experience is they're going to get.
Absolutely. And I think, again, I see this mistake I made a lot where I, you know, I'll have ads come up on my e-reader and stuff. And I've sent you a couple of screenshots and I was just like, what the hell? Like, what is this even about?
Yeah.
You have no idea, you know, is this, like, I remember showing you one. I was like, I don't even know if this is nonfiction or fiction.
Right.
Like, from looking at the title and the cover and the description, it was just... And so I think that, again, like this, your title is just not, that's not the place for you to put your artsy touch on something, in my opinion. And when I say it should say what your story is about, you know, that's something you need to be careful with too, because your title is a marketing thing that should sell your book. And it's also creative. I mean, that is important. I'm not going to pretend like that's not important, but yeah, so... Again, the reader should really know what they're getting into. So your title should also reflect genre. I think this is really important too. Again, I gave the example of A Boy and His Dog at the End of the World. End of the World is clearly like when we're post-apoc readers. And of course, that's the genre we're really into. So a lot of the examples I'm going to use today are related to post-apoc. And because it's the one we study the most and see, you know, a lot of the same word stuff over and over again. But, you know, there's a reason. When you look at, like, let's say fantasy, there's a reason when you look at fantasy books, you see a lot of the same words over and over again. And I wrote down some examples like sword, chronicle, magic, chosen, warrior, dragon, fire, fate. They sell. Those words instantly put across the reader, okay, this is like, in this instance, these are pretty much all words you'll see on epic fantasy books.
Right.
And I've talked to authors who purposely try to avoid these words. I'm like, why? Don't try to avoid
these. Because everyone else is using them.
Who cares? Like, these are established words that people can identify with, especially within genre. And so, and we'll talk a little bit about making your title original here in a second. And there's ways you can do that with using those words. You know, you might just have to do a little bit of research, but... Don't try avoiding those words, you know, whatever they are in your genre. And to give another example, in our, you know, our series that out of all our stuff sold the best, we were very, very deliberate on the title. So we have a series that is a post-apocalyptic, contemporary post-apoc story with vampires, ancient vampires coming in and kind of like trying to take the world over. And that series is called Final Awakening. Final and Awakening are two, both those words are very, very, very common with post-apoc and with vampire stuff, like awaken, you'll see that word a lot. And the three books are called Dawn, Dusk, and Night. I mean, like those words pretty in unison with the covers, you know what you're getting into when you look at those.
Yeah.
And so, and those books sold really well, and they ranked real high in Amazon's algorithms because they're the type of terms that people are searching for. Again, those are things you have to think about. I think that I think it even matters for traditionally published books. I think that matters, but you have to, because a lot of people will look at trad pub books and say, well, they're doing this, and they're doing, you know, we always hear the example of, well, why can't I write cross-genre? Stephen King does it. Mm-hmm. Well, Stephen King's his own genre, and, you know, for one, but you have to remember, like, selling a book traditionally is way different than selling a book online. And those people should be worried about too, because they're also trying to sell books on Amazon.
Eventually.
You know? But if their main goal is to try to sell books in a bookstore, you know, they might be getting placement on a table, or they might be like our friend Rachel, get their book placed in Target, which is super rare and hard to do. That's a different thing. You're getting eyeballs in a different way. So maybe those people can afford to be a little more unique with their titles. So what I'm saying is you really shouldn't be using any of those as examples. Right. Even Rachel's book, though, had a great title that says what Stolen Things is like.
Yeah.
I think I'll talk about that later. But anything else you want to add here about?
Well, I had to look this up because this is case in point. There's a book and movie that I really enjoyed, but I find it difficult to tell other people about it because I can never remember the title. Here's the title. It's The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Yeah.
Any idea what that's about?
No idea.
No idea, right? It's incredibly hard to remember. It's complicated. It doesn't make sense. And therefore, I'll be thinking about it in conversation, and I would like to recommend it to someone, but I can't remember the name of the title.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something else that I think is really important, is your title needs to be easy to remember so people can tell other people about your book. You know, that's a really good point. And yeah, that's an example of just being too artistic.
Yeah.
You know, and... Because I've never heard of that movie and have no idea what it's about.
The title. And I'll tell you what it's about. It's about a French journalist who has a stroke, and then writes a book. He writes his memoir by blinking.
Oh wow, that sounds interesting.
Right. It's a great story. Right. I read the memoir. I watched the movie. It was even subtitled. You know how I feel about subtitles.
You hate them. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was good. But like I often can't even remember the name of that. I struggle to, you know, tell other people about it for that
reason. You had to look it up just now.
I had to look it up right now.
Yeah, that's funny. Yep. Yeah, that's a really good example. So I think that kind of leads into the next thing I want to talk about, which is, and I've kind of touched on this a little bit already, but, you know, be original but not unique. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is, you know, use some of these, I would really strongly recommend you use some common words you see in your genre, but you could still be original. So, for instance, Final Awakening, we hadn't seen any books that were called, like any series called that. Now, there are other books called Dawn and Dusk and Night, but we didn't really care about that. You know, but our series was at least original.
There were books called Final Awakening, but not a series.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that it just takes a little bit of research. You know, you just have to... when I did my series Empty Bodies, that was another one, and there was nothing out there called that. I think there's like a System of a Down song or something called that, but that was the only thing that would come up. But yeah, do a simple Amazon or Google search, and because I understand if you don't necessarily want to title your book or your series the same thing as someone else has done, but that doesn't mean you should be avoiding these common words. Like you can think about other titles. Maybe you just don't use that specific title.
Yes,
or something like that.
So there's some obvious ones you should probably avoid. Like, you should probably not call your book The Dark Tower.
Yeah, right.
Or
yeah.
The Stand, you know. Yeah. But, like, if there's some other... If there are a few books on Amazon that have similar titles, like, who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. So be original but not unique. And, again, remember the first two tips we talked about. And so, you know, your title doesn't get lost on the reader. Less is more is another one I want to talk about. Now, this... There's outliers, you know, the stuff I'm going to talk about, A Boy and His Dog at the End of the World does not go into this rule, you know, so there's going to be outliers, obviously there's going to be exceptions, but I think when you can, you should really consider shorter titles. They're going to look better on the cover, they're going to be easier to read, like when someone, you have to think about how we shop for books, again, we're coming from... a independently publishing perspective, and we're thinking about the way people shop on Amazon, not in bookstores. A Boy and His Dog at the End of the World is a TradPub book. Mm-hmm. So, they're going to see the small thumbnail of your book, and if you have a really long title, it's going to be harder for people to see that. But if you have, again, Dawn or Dusk or Night, like those titles stand out on our covers because it's one word, and they really, really stand out when people are shopping that way. And... there they've done, there's been statistics run that show, and I even think that Dave from Publisher Rocket has done some research on this, because that dude's done some amazing research.
Yep.
That titles with three words or less typically sell better. So if you could try to use three words or less, again, there's going to be outliers, and you don't have to do this, but if you can try, then typically those titles, there's a lot of statistics out there that say that they sell better, which I found kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So, and again, so your word choice really, really matters. We talked about this a little bit. We talked about our series, Final Awakening, Dawn, Dusk, Night. But you should really try to use strong words that reflect genre and tone. And I'm going to talk a little bit in a minute how some tips I use when I'm coming up with titles to figure out what words you should be thinking about within your titles, other than just knowing the genre, which we know our genre really well. So we kind of, I wish we could say the name of your book that you're trying to trad publish, because it's so good. We won't say it now, but that's a great title. We'll talk about that one later. I'll talk about that, go into this a little more, because I want to talk a little bit about how double meaning can be awesome. So this is one place where I feel like you can get a little artistic. Mm. And this is one of those types of things where this can be really cool for a reader and kind of like an aha moment once they're done reading the book. So if your title on the surface looks like one thing, but then this is kind of a hard one to explain, but like it looks like it means one thing, but then they read the book and they realize maybe through the theme of the book or for what the book's really about, oh, that title actually means this. Mm-hmm. And I haven't finished reading Rachel's book yet, but I have a feeling that Stolen Things is kind of like that, because
it hits on multiple levels.
And this isn't spoiling it, because it's in the, I don't want to spoil your book, Rachel. I'm sorry. When you see this episode in 6 months, I don't want you to be mad at me. But it deals with kidnapping, sexual assault. So it really works on multiple levels when you really think about it. And I think that's kind of a cool thing, and something you can do that's kind of artistic, a cool thing you can do as well.
Right.
But if you can nail your cover and your title and they work in unison, then you've got a lot more chance of your book being bought. Like, you know, we talk about, I don't know, what's the statistic? How long do people average look at a book on Amazon?
It's less than 7 seconds.
Yeah.
I know that much.
So, you know, if you can get them, if you can even get them to your synopsis, you're doing really good. And to do that, it's really important to have a really good title and a really good cover. And then you can get them to your synopsis, and hopefully they can read your book. If your book is good and well edited, which we talk about all the time, you know, that's going to be key. Then you can really grow readers and grow fans out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a few. I just want to mention real quick a few.
Can I ask you one thing?
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I know this gets into the weeds a little bit, and may be more specific to KDP. But what is your current opinion on like colon, parentheses, keyword stuffing the title?
I'm glad you brought that up. I, after talking to Dave at Dave Chesson at Publisher Rocket, he's got a lot of data about how Amazon is indexing words. So, long story short, so what Jay's asking basically is that in a lot of our books, it'll be Dawn, Final Awakening, Book One, and then parentheses, a post-apocalyptic thriller. And we've been doing that for a long time.
As has many of us.
And as have a lot of people. You'll see that, and you see that in every genre. An epic fantasy. A sweet romance. It's not necessary. Because the way Amazon is, they crawl your synopsis. And they're crawling, and of course your keywords and stuff. So it's basically just redundant. So
it doesn't, might not matter for the algorithm, but do you think it makes a difference for the reader?
That's a good question. And I think that's a debatable one. I think that it could help, but I also think let's take our books. I don't think we really need it. I think that, and I'm not saying that because I'm saying we're better. I'm just saying that we've done really good about nailing our covers and our titles. So I think that, yes, it's an added layer of like, okay, we're going to make sure you know that what this is about, but I don't think it's really totally necessary.
Okay.
I've gone back and forth on whether we should take them out of our books or not, or at least kind of rearrange it a little bit. But I do think it can help the reader out a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
and we don't put those on the cover.
We don't. No.
So just a little.
Well, actually, we do.
Do we?
Yeah, most of them do because it's actually in Amazon's terms of service.
Right.
You're supposed to do it.
That's right. Yeah.
On some of them, we didn't do it. And we've never gotten in trouble, but I think on most of them I've tried to do it.
Okay.
Just because of that. I don't want them to flag it. And when it was, I wouldn't care as much now because those aren't as important to me as they used to be. But you are kind of asking it two different ways. From a reader perspective, it still could help. If you're doing that because you're trying to get raised up in a keyword or in a search term on Amazon, like in our instance, post-apocalyptic thriller, it doesn't matter. As long as it's in your keywords and you can even double it up and put it somewhere in your description, they're going to crawl it and get it. So it doesn't matter as much.
Okay.
So, good question. I'm glad you asked that. So a few tips really quick, and a few of these I touched on, but I'll just go talk about them again. But, you know, biggest thing, know your genre. And, you know, study your genre, specifically bestsellers. And even more specifically, I would say, if you're independently published and you're mainly trying to sell books on Amazon like we are, or on Kobo or other sellers like that, online retailers, you know, when you're looking through Amazon, really try to look at other independently published books. And you can do that by going down to the publisher on a page and it'll say, Amazon Digital Services is the publisher, or sold by, or one of those two. Because I think you can put in whatever you want for publisher, but it'll be sold by or whatever.
And if it's in Kindle Unlimited, it's
most likely it's going to be.
Indie. Yeah.
There's obviously exceptions to that too. Like you'll see like The Handmaid's Tale on Kindle Unlimited, and I think Hunger Games was for a long time. But those are decent titles. Hunger Games more than Handmaid's Tale, I think. But anyways, so yeah, there. So you can look at see stuff that's in Kindle Unlimited as well. But study that. See what words you're seeing come up. See what type of titles are really selling. And it's the same thing I recommend you do with book covers.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I don't think it would be helpful if you could find a Barnes & Noble or an independent bookstore and went in and looked at those, because those are traditionally published and their objective as far as genre goes is very different.
Absolutely.
They're not trying to sell books to readers. They're trying to sell books to outlets.
Yeah, you're absolutely,
you
know?
So
right.
So I think when you say study your genre and the bestsellers, indie books on Amazon are probably your best resource.
Yeah, because yeah, I recently went and saw a talk about, you know, and it was more traditionally published. It was at a place that was talking more about physical bookstores. And the advice they were giving was like some similarities, but a lot of it was totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were like, you really want your title to stand out and be unique. And it's, you know, so that it looks good on a front table. That's not the same thing.
Right.
It's because when you're trying to show up in search terms, it's a totally different thing. You know, when you're trying to be indexed on these websites and show up where people are actually typing in the search for books, it's a totally different thing.
Yep.
So a thing I really love to do is do word clouds.
Yeah.
So go on Google, and if you have a vampire book, type in vampire word cloud or post-apocalyptic word cloud or epic fantasy word cloud, and then do images, and these images will come up and it'll just be word clouds of like a ton of common words. And then from there you can kind of pick stuff. I love doing that.
Yeah.
I think that's how I came up with the Final Awakening stuff, was doing word clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have done the same thing with our War for Earth series, which I was so surprised War for Earth, no one had that as a title of a series.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was like, wow, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's another good example. So our Alien Invasion series, War for Earth, the books are called Arrival, Invasion, and what's the last one? I'm totally blanking on
it. So am I.
I totally forgot what the last book is called.
I have to pull it up now. How sad is that?
Yeah, that's so bad. We don't even remember.
Encounter.
Encounter, that's right, Encounter. So really, obviously really strong words for Alien Invasion. You know what you're getting into. But I would also say to come up with a list of titles and subtitles and series titles before settling on one. So don't just like go the first thing you come to mind. Really come up with a lot and ask people. Do like what Jay did with me when he asked me about that movie a few minutes ago. And he's like, do you know what that's about? I think that type of thing can be really helpful.
Yeah, you could give someone a title and say, tell me what you think that story is about.
Yeah.
Then you'll know how effective it is.
I do that with Catherine and my wife all the time. And I'll say, hey, what do you think this is about? Like, I'll do it with covers and with titles. Mm-hmm. And I actually did it with Rachel's book, and she nailed it. Like, and so I was like, okay, this is a really good cover and title. But I do that with a lot. And so do it with people who are readers and people who aren't. You know, I think you can get benefits both ways. But I think it's really important to come up with a list and don't just settle on the first thing you think of, which we talk about a lot. A lot of times your best and most creative ideas are several down the line.
Right. So even in craft, right?
Even in craft, we talk about all the time. It's going to sound like they're sponsoring our show, but they're totally not. A tool like Publisher Rocket can be a big help. Because that allows you, for anyone who's not using Publisher Rocket, it basically allows you to search keywords on Amazon. It tells you how effective they are. And it also allows you to build Amazon ads and stuff. So you can type in stuff in there and you'll get a lot of different titles and words and stuff that come up. And I think that's another really big help too. Again, those guys are not sponsoring the show. Dave lives near me and it's a really cool piece of software. So, and then last thing, I wanted to give some what I went and looked on the first page of Post-Apocalyptic Bestsellers. And like all these titles were great. So I picked out some of the best ones, and these are books that are selling hundreds a day. But I just want to give some examples because I think everyone will hear these and be like, oh, I know exactly what that's about just by hearing it. So Winter World, Pandemic, All That Remains, The Long Night, Contamination, had to put a buddy to our, to a shout out to Piper Brook. He was on the first page, which is awesome. Year One, No Sanctuary, Instant Darkness. Like, all those are great titles. There's nothing super unique about them, and all those books are
nothing artsy about them.
No, and all those books are selling hundreds of copies a day. Yeah. I mean, their first page in Post-Apoc, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're ranked in the top 500 on Amazon if you're up there. So, those are doing really well. So, well, I realized I forgot to put a question for the audience this week. So I guess we'll come up with one now. You got a good idea for a question? Because you kind of been – or anything you want to add, I guess I could ask first.
No, that was great. It was really interesting to hear sort of the rationale behind it. And I think I've been guilty of trying to come up with clever titles as opposed to ones that sell. So I think it's good to remind ourselves of that frequently.
So maybe we can ask maybe something as simple as, what do you think about when you come up with your titles? Like, how do you come up with a title?
How do you come up with your title?
How do you come up with your title? What kind of things are you thinking about? Do you have any specific tools you use? Mm-hmm. That would be a good question for the week. So if you want to let us know about that, head on over to thecareerauthor.com, and then you can just find this episode on the episodes tab and comment there, and we'll chat with you there.
Great.
So, couple quick reminders. We just want to remind everybody to consider joining us over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor. Again, as little as $1 a month gets you in. We got some cool stuff. Again, we're going to start adding some essays over there as well. They're going to be exclusive to Patreon, so we're excited about that. If you haven't done this, if you want to consider leaving us a review on iTunes for the podcast, we'd really appreciate it. That's a really good way to, you know, help us get heard by more people and help spread our message. So if you're getting value out of what we're doing here, then that really helps out. Tell your writer friends, of course. And I guess also, since we're here at the end and we can say whatever we want, because most people probably tuned out anyway. Of course we have Sci-Fi Seattle coming up this week, and we're really excited about that. And most of our events for next year sold out, but we still have tickets available for, I guess we have still one available for Authors on a Train, and we're coming up really close on that.
Yeah.
We won't be able to sell that ticket if someone wants it because of logistical reasons. So consider that, but also we still have tickets available for Vampires of New Orleans, which is going to be so freaking fun. That's gonna be a great, great trip. Yes. If you've never been to New Orleans, that's one thing, because New Orleans is great. If you've never been to New Orleans during Halloween, holy crap, you're missing, like, it's amazing. So
that'll be Halloween of next year.
Of 2020. Yeah, that,
not
thank you for,
2019.
Not this year. Yeah, next year. You have a little bit of time to plan your trip and stuff. But you can see all that over at thecareerauthor.com/events, or just head over to thecareerauthor.com. There's a little events tab. And, yeah, so with that, I guess we'll head on out of here and, I don't know, go have coffee somewhere or something.
Sounds good.
So see y'all later.
See ya.
Bye.